Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Fumble. We've not been around for a while, and there's a reason for that. Myself, Vernon Kay, and Darren Fletcher. Darren, this is a momentous occasion for us.
It is. I describe this, Vernon, as the Fumble's version of when you walk into the shower for the first time and you realise you've got hair under your armpits. When you're 12 and a half, 13, you know when life starts to get serious? Well, today is that day. The Fumble now officially has hair under its armpits.
Yeah, we've reached puberty. We've done the groundwork, as they say. And we've teased a little bit on social media about welcoming someone new. And that someone new is, without doubt, a very, very good friend of mine, a good friend of yours, Darren, and I think a very, 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 very dear friend of the NFL UK network. It is the one and only Menelik Watson.
There he is.
Well, that's a welcome.
There he is.
How are you doing?
We are now good.
Awesome, wicked.
Sounds about. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, man. Just took the dog for a walk. Just getting up. My day's just starting. Yours is finishing.
I know. We're just getting dark here.
Brilliant. Oh, hey, Menelik, you look well, mate.
Cheers, man. Cheers. I've been changed my diet. Been working out, swimming a lot, running. You know, getting trying to drop all this football size. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nice.
So I can live like a regular human.
Menelik, it's a pleasure to have you on this podcast. It's a real joy, actually, because what we've done in the past, we've spoken about football from an outsider's perspective. We don't like X's and O's. Darren does some numbers. We have a laugh about the game. But what we're hoping that you're going to bring is an insight, because you've been there. You've been in the locker room. You've had the arguments. You've celebrated the success. You've played for a couple of teams in the NFL, but not only that, your journey through college football is amazingly interesting as well. Yeah. And we want to know how, what, where, when, and why. That's it. So we're going to drain you. We're going to draw all that information out of you. And we're going to, Darren and I think we're going to live vicariously through your stories for the rest of the season.
I feel closer now to the NFL than I've ever felt. This is great for us. And as Vernon says, we want all the insight you can give us. We want to learn, don't we, big fella? We want to learn inside that locker room. I mean, I don't have the physical gifts to be even allowed into the reception, let alone into
It's an interesting world, to say the least, because it's not just about the physical side of it. There's a lot of mental stuff that goes into a team's record or a team's ability to show up on the weekends.
I tell you what is interesting, Vernon. We were chatting off air before we started. Menelik said, well, I'm going to go to the gym. He said, because what I need to do now is shed weight. Ridiculously hard to put it on. How hard is it to get it off?
Bloody mate, it's bloody hard. I tell you what, for me, it was always easy putting it on. And right now, my body's talking to me, right? I'm walking around and I'm trying to fit in places. And they're like, oh, do you play football? And I'm like, no. It's like, no, I never played football. You know what I mean? Especially with my accent as well. They're like, oh, okay, fair enough. But yeah, just, you know, you think about it long term, you know. And I took after I was finished, actually 2019, right before COVID hit, had a workout schedule with Washington football team. And it was something, I took taking a break from football when I was released by the Broncos. I just needed a little time to kind of get my feet on the ground. Everything happened for me really, really fast. And actually, the 2018 season got a call from Buffalo to go to training camp. And actually turned it down because my daughter had come to visit me. And, you know, we missed a lot of time, you know, during my playing career. And she had just gotten out. And you know, I gave her the choice. You know, isn't it? How crazy is that? I asked my daughter to make the choice of if I'm going to go training camp or not, you know. And understanding that I've made a lot of sacrifices. And we both sat down together and I turned it down. And Washington was going to be my last year. I wanted to play one more year just to kind of soak up the game. And still being very young in it, in a sense, I wanted to get in a building and kind of continue to learn more. It wasn't really about playing for me. It was more about getting in a building, learning a lot more about the game, because there's still a lot to be learned, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it didn't work out, obviously, can thank COVID for that. But yeah, just kind of took that time to kind of sit down. And I've been an athlete since I was like 12, 13 years old. So it's been nice to kind of wake up with no alarm. No one telling me when to get up and work out, right? No one telling you when to, you got to run or do anything like that. So just kind of getting back on it because, you know, athletes in me blood, you know what I mean? I got to keep my blood juices going, you know?
But Menelik, like, all football fans will want to know the answer to this question. From the moment you arrived in the US, from the moment you put on a helmet in college, have you enjoyed the ride?
I loved it. I loved it. It's funny. My first 2 years were super fast. I was so dialed in. You know, I talked to the kids a lot. I actually coached basketball last year and we won the national championship here in America for prep school. And talking to those kids a lot, lending them a lot of my experience. During that 2 years before I got to the NFL, a lot of discipline, a lot of sacrifices. Being at my previous school playing basketball, I kind of lost my ways a little bit. Partying a lot, you know, and partaking in things I shouldn't be partaking in. And,
but is that not college kind of, life?
It is, right. It is. And I think I was, you know what, Vernon, I've always kind of put pressure on myself since I was a kid. You know what Manchester's like, right? Growing up there. And I set about when I was 12, 13, that I was going to use my size that my dad gave me, pretty much the only thing he gave me, right? And it was like, you know, I might as well make use of it, right? And it was, so from 12 years old, I was on this journey, right? And then I had my daughter when I was super young. So for me, things got really serious. I wasn't able to just enjoy the sport like every other kid. I was doing it for a purpose. So when I got to college, I was having too much fun, right? And I lost my ways a little bit and I lost my love for basketball. So for me, football was a second chance. It was a second opportunity for me to do something to help my family. And so when I got it, I just took it super serious. You know what I mean? No partying, no running around, you know, running after girls and stuff like that. And, you know, the stuff college kids do, it was 100% focus. It was me, football and school, and understanding I was also behind the eight ball, that I didn't have any room forever. You know, when we were winning games, I didn't have time to go out and enjoy the parties or the life of my teammates. I had to get back into my room, study the game, watch my film, you know what I mean? And make sure I'm rested so that I can get out the next day and usually run off the soreness from the game and, you know, and continue to build from that. And it worked. And so those 2 years were super fast. But I remember everything. You know, I remember everything. I remember all the details.
One thing I'm absolutely delighted with, I think Vernon will agree on this, that you still sound like you're from Manchester. I know people, I know people that there were a 2-week package tour to Orlando and Wayne. The only word so far that you've said that had an American twang was purpose. Everything else, you were from Manchester. Purpose was the only one. You've kept your accent. I mean, you've been over there for so long. And you could be, I mean, you're in Denver now, but you
could be
from anywhere in the northwest of England.
Yeah, but Menelik, you must have used your accent to your advantage throughout your playing career.
A couple of times. Hey, do you know what? As funny as it sounds, you know, the accent comes out super thick. It's when I get pulled over. If I get pulled over, the accent comes out super quick. And you know what? Whatever offense it might have been, you know, maybe I was going a little bit over the speed limit or something like that. It's like they kind of get mesmerized and they're like, wait, where are you from? And then it's like, all right, you know, and then they pretty much forget. But yeah, you know, it's so funny. I posted a video the other day and someone's like, oh, your accent sounds so different. And I said, well, you know, it kind of depends on who I'm talking to. If I'm around some, I feel like if I'm around like my American, like my mates here and my American mates, like, I think my accent changes a bit because you got to slow down. Like, there's no, when I came to America, I was like, I'm not changing my accent. I don't care. I'm just going to keep it super mank. And when I got to college, it changed in about a couple months because I would say something and I'd get people like, oh, can you repeat that again? And I'm like, I'm not a jukebox. Do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, you know what I mean? You got to start paying for these phrases and stuff.
Do you know the Queen?
I mean? Yeah. Oh, do you know the Queen? You know, wait, someone said, is what do you say? Is England in London?
No.
So, well, let me slow it down just a little bit for you, right? And then you say, oh, you throw that in a bin for me. They're like, hey, what's that, a bin? So, oh, the trash. And it's like, oh, the trash. It's like, oh, yeah. So then you start kind of incorporating some of the words and then the accent starts. But as soon as I hear English accent, it's like, it goes off, you know what I mean? And it's back. Yeah, I never lose it, me. I never could. I don't think my brothers would let me come back if I came back.
No, never. I don't think the NFL UK community would let you change your accent as well.
No, I think...
Not a chance.
You know when you get the mic'd up games? I would have loved it to listen to Menelik in the trenches against the defensive tackle. And Menelik giving it large in his Manchester accent. Thinking, wow, what's going on here? I don't understand.
Hey, you can ask some of my teammates. When I lose it on the field, the accent comes out strong. They don't understand a word I'm saying. I push them big and the accent's going, mate. It kind of terrifies them, to be honest.
Brilliant. Well, Menelik, hopefully we're all in for the rest of the season. And it's a great joy and a great honour, really, to have you part of the team. Because this is something that's going somewhere. Well, it is now anyway. Darren and I have been riding round in circles for the past 3 or 4 seasons, and now we've finally got destination success on the sat nav. So, Menelik, thank you very much. We'll be picking you and draining you of your stories as the season goes along. Darren's got some numbers, so go on, Darren. You fire away.
So what we do, Menelik, on the podcast is I kind of find some numbers because we love numbers. And I mean, the NFL is all about numbers. We try and find some numbers and little bits of information that people go, oh, right, really?
We both do
this week. So I'm going to start with this one. The New York Jets. There's kind of this idea that when you come off a bye, you should win more often than not because you've had a bit more time to prepare. The New York Jets have now lost 6 straight games directly off a bye, which has to be unforgivable, surely.
Right. Well, you know what? I think with the Jets, it comes with the continuous coaching carousel, right? You're constantly bringing in a new coach every 2 to 3 years. So I remember my rookie year, we had a bye week and we had Dennis Allen, who was a first-time head coach going into his second year. And he believed that bye week was a time for the young guys and the rookies to get extra work. And he only gave the vets a couple of days off. We came back and it didn't really change anything. There was no feeling of refreshed. We didn't feel refreshed coming off the bye week. Whereas you get a coach that kind of understands his team, like Andy Reid or someone like that. They let their guys go and take a break for a whole week, right? And they maybe come back refreshed. I think some coaches tend to panic, especially like the Jets. It's not been going well, right? I think they've competed hard this year, but it's not kind of fell their way. So how Robert Saleh, he's really got to rebuild his team and their confidence. It's almost like you've had training camp, you've had the preseason, you've had 6, 7 games already. It's almost like we've got to reset these guys and their mindset going forward. If you pay attention to the previous stats, it's kind of irrelevant because last year's team, the turnover has been over 25%. So you can't really say, okay, we've lost 6 straight, we need to get a win. It's almost like, hey, we know the history of the Jets. We know people don't expect much from us. We know our rookie quarterback is struggling right now, right? We're missing pieces on the offensive line. But we have to dig deep and kind of find that confidence and find ourselves, kind of find that thin balance of obviously getting them back prepared after taking a couple of days off or maybe a week. So you don't really want to beat them up too bad in a week, but you also want to make sure that they're fully prepared to kind of make this run. Because from now on to the end of the season, there are no more breaks. And the players understand that too. So some guys will start to pace themselves. Some guys will start thinking about next year and their contract. And some guys are going to want to try and make a statement. So you kind of got to bring them all together and unit. I think they have a chance to kind of right the ship. I do like Robert Salah. I do like his mindset. I like his demeanor. I like the way he carries himself. But is the team going to take on that personality? That's yet to be seen.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One thing I do want to hear from you, and Vern will agree on this, that we've got to find out on one of these podcasts, one of these weeks, what it's like to be a Raider. Because we all hear over here what it's like to be a Raider. You could tell us what it's to be a Raider. So I'm fascinated. Yeah. We'll save that for another day.
Yeah, yeah.
This was something else I found this week about Jared Goff. He's with Detroit these days. He was a Rams quarterback before that. With Sean McVay as his head coach, he's 42-20. Averaging 28.2 points per game with a QBR rating of 55.3. Under Jeff Fisher, John Fassel, and Dan Campbell, he's 0-14 as a starting quarterback, averaging 15.2 points per game with a QBR of 26.6. So if anybody wonders what Sean McVay can do for a quarterback, they need to look no further than the impact that he has on Jared Goff. And just how much Jared Goff struggles when Sean McVay isn't his head coach.
Absolutely. That's a great topic as well. And being at that topic of Sean McVay, I actually trained with Andrew Whitworth and Sullivan at the time when he was on the team in Los Angeles, and they were telling me about his coaching style. And there is a reason why, since he's been in the league, the Rams have been a winning franchise, from going from a franchise with a lot of talent, but very 500 to it. Obviously, they went to the Super Bowl. They're constantly in the playoffs because of the way Coach McVay, the way he coaches. So it's no surprise that Goff is struggling when he's not under his tutelage. You know what I mean? There's a reason why. I think a lot of it with Goff is mental, you know. And I think a lot of people think you can paint everyone the same brush. You can't coach everybody the same. Some guys are sensitive, and the NBA is going through it right now with Ben Simmons. It's a very similar thing. Once as a franchise, that's, you know, you're a $1 billion franchise, you get this overturn every year, you know, players come and go, coaches come and go, and you might get a kid or a guy that's a super talent, and you're trying to cultivate that talent to be the cornerstone of your franchise, but it might be more of a tender situation than you anticipated, right? I think Goff is a very, very tender situation. He always has been. My mate, Matt Williams, shout out to Matt Williams, who's another English guy who played American football, one of my old teammates. He knew Goff from Cal because they both played at Cal. And he had reserves about Goff's mentality going into the NFL. And I think McVay was a perfect pairing, you know, as we've seen, if it's not McVay giving him that kind of big brother kind of put him on a wing, everything's okay, we're going to figure this out, we're not going to panic, we're not going to go look for outside sources. I think he's struggling. You know, the new coach now, he seems very team-orientated, not really a people person. So he's kind of demanding the team to kind of move as one instead of picking out individuals and say, hey, come here, let's have a conversation, let's discuss how you're feeling, how's your game feeling? Are you comfortable in this scenario? Are you comfortable with the playbook? He's more or less like, I'm going to trust my OC and my quarterback coach to put you in that position. Can you produce? If you can't produce, we're going to go somewhere else. Whereas McVay is more of a, you know, like you said, he inherited Goff from Fisher and he didn't win a game under Fisher, right? But he comes in with a little bit more of a tender touch and a more personable vibe that Goff can then feel comfortable in himself, you know, and I think that worked for him. And now we're seeing kind of the kind of personality Goff has, and I don't think he responds well to that level of coaching.
So the final numbers, fascinating insight that, by the way. The final numbers we got revolve around the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys look like they're going to be for real, look like they're going to win the division, look like they're going to score plenty of points, could be potential contenders in the NFC. When they played New England recently, they gained 567 yards in the win, which is the most that a Bill Belichick team has allowed in 620 games as a head coach or a coordinator. So anybody who wonders whether this offense is for real, what they did to New England has never happened to Bill Belichick before. And if we branch that out a bit, the projections the rest of the way, Ezekiel Elliott is projected to have 1,536 yards, and Tony Pollard is projected to have 1,105. CD Lamb is projected to have 1,183 yards receiving, and Amari Cooper is projected to have 1,081 yards receiving. No team in NFL history has ever had two 1,000-yard rushers and two 1,000-yard receivers on the same team in the same season. Now, this is historic stuff that we're talking about here for Dallas. And when you factor the Belichick thing in with Elliott, Pollard, Lamb and Cooper, anybody who's not taking Dallas seriously at this stage needs to get on the Cowboy bandwagon, because this is not just being thrown together in Dallas.
Right. Yeah, no, this isn't this isn't a fluke by any chance. I think, you know, in the past, people have written Dallas off a lot. I've always felt like they kind of got, in the past, they've had more praise than I think deserved. And that's just my opinion. I don't think they were deep enough. I think at the time they were given praise, I mean, they had one receiver, Dez Bryant, right? And they've had a couple complimentary guys, but never really had a receiving core as deep as they have now, right? You talk about Zeke Elliott, right? He's always been a beast, but this year coming in lighter than he's ever been, you know, having a full offseason to work on his body, work on his game. The offensive line is getting back healthy now. Dak is, I think, entering his prime. I don't think he's been in his prime. I think he's just starting. We're going to see another 3 to 4 years of Dak at this level if they can keep him healthy, right? And his pieces stay healthy. I think you
answer me this, because you've blocked. So you guys get tremendous pride in your running back getting 1,000 yards.
Yeah,
your running back getting to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Can you actually comprehend that two backs on the same team might go past 1,000 yards here? And how significant is that when also that offensive line is giving Dak Prescott enough time to get 1,000 yards to Amari Cooper,
1,000
to CD Lamb? I mean, this is kind of other level stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, this is next level. I mean, talk about us in what, 2016, 2017 season. I mean, we was up there. I think we were ranked number two offensive line in the league behind the Cowboys. And like, I think in between then, like, I think people have kind of, I don't want to say disrespected, right? But they forgot Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, right? Lyle Collins, like, that's a great group. I mean, imagine if Frederick was still playing, right? And as you get older in this league, especially for offensive linemen, the game gets a lot easier. You kind of understand personnel, right? Because as a rookie, you come in and you go against a guy like Sue and Dominican Sue's in his prime, right? And you're going against all these monsters. And as these monsters get older, these are the guys that you wanted to conquer as a young guy in this league. So now they're getting older, you're manhandling them. And these young guys, even though they are some talent, they're still young guys. So this offensive line, unlike ours, I mean, our offensive line kind of like disbanded. Kind of once I left in 2017, you know, Gruden came in, kind of ruined Donald Penn by throwing him to the other side of the offensive line that didn't make any sense. So we kind of like never got a chance to kind of continue to grow with each other. They have. So now they're even matured even more. I mean, they're completely controlling the line of scrimmage. The Cowboys, the only reason why I would put one foot in and one foot out with the Cowboys right now is the defense.
Yeah.
Right. Is the defense, and
the defense can allow somebody to score 30 because Dallas are going to get 31.
Exactly. And that is the luxury they have right now. That is the, you know what I mean? That's a real luxury you have at this point, because as the season goes on, all their defense has to do is continue to get better. The offense will refine. I'm sure they'll have maybe one or two games down the line where they'll come out and they'll stall and they won't have the numbers, but the talent is there. The willpower is there and the coaching is there. It's just the defensive side. Once they continue to, I mean, if their defense continues to get better, if Diggs keeps playing how he's playing and brings the rest of the secondary with him, we get Lawrence back. I'm telling you, I mean, this might be the year the Cowboys kind of do something out there. And I'm excited because, you know, I always say the sports are always great when the cornerstone franchises are always great, right? It's like the Premiership without Man United, Liverpool, and Arsenal and Chelsea not being well. It's like we watch Arsenal now dying in the bottom half of the league, right? And for me, it feels good, right? But it's if you're not an Arsenal fan, it feels you don't feel it anymore. But there's a different feel when those guys are, you know, on top of their game. And that's what I think we're seeing in the NFL. I think I made a joke 2 weeks ago with someone, and I said, wow, the Cowboys and the Raiders are pretty good this year. What's going on with the NFL, right? We're in the golden years again, you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that what that means? But I'm impressed with the Cowboys. I love what they're doing. Love Amari. Known him since he was a rookie. The kid's just a dog. He's just going to go to work. So, you know, the numbers are going to be there. CeeDee Lamb. I had a lot of reserves about CeeDee Lamb coming into the year. He shut me up the first game. I was impressed with him the first game, even though they lost. And people do forget. I mean, their only losses to the Super Bowl champions. So I think we got to take him carefully. But here's the problem. We give Cowboys too much credit and too much praise. Are they going to shit the bed?
That is the big question. Yeah. See, that's the way the numbers need to work. We've done them one way for so long. We bring Benelik in. Not only do we get the numbers broken down. We get layers and layers and layers. This is where the podcast is headed now,
Mark. Yeah, mate. It's going to be quality. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Hopefully, and I've got loads of old teammates, man. They would love to get on and speak, especially to the English people. I know in the offseason, I know Jameis Winston personally, he wants to come to England. So we could definitely set something up in the offseason to have him come out and do a nice Q&A. Sounds good. Yeah, I got lots of old teammates. I've got guys who have retired. I've got guys who are still playing. Like every time I talk to them, it's like, oh yeah, like, oh, I want to come to England, bro. Like, oh, so.
Really excited about this moving forward. We want to get you involved as much as we can.
Darren, Menelik, thank you very much. And in particular, Menelik, thank you very much for joining us. Absolute pleasure. Next week, we'll get into the story of you pinning one of your college teammates against the wall when it was your visit. I've been told that story. I'll leave it at that and we'll come to that next week. It's an absolute classic.
And we also have to mention before we go that we will be together on Sunday night on BBC Radio 5 Live Sports Extra. The NFL coverage starts right the way through to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, and we're going to be together this Sunday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the New Orleans Saints. Tom Brady, opening game, you and I. Looking forward to that, my friend. So I shall speak to you again on Sunday evening.
Absolutely. And whilst we're here, Menelik, what are you doing Sunday night?
Sunday night, I will be in Los Angeles. My old teammate, Donald Penny's son's having a birthday party. So, Brilliant. You know, we still stick together.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to go out there and help little man. He's about to turn a teenager. My daughter just turned to a teenager as well. So, momentous times. We're getting old.
Sweet. Love it. All right. Well, thank you, Fletch, Menelik. I will see you next week.
Cheers, mate. See you next week, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.